thenewspress.com.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duvernay are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Broadview Mortgage, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates, and a wide array of loan programs. And Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937. Located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Neil, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, and I know that I am particularly impressed to be here with you today because you received an award at the... what was that group? That small group that just got formed?
You mean the Junior League?
The Junior League.
Yes,
Junior
League. I got the Sustainer of the Year.
I'm very impressed.
I knew you would be. You know, it started in New York, the Junior League.
And is there any way I could get into it?
At this juncture, no.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
you have a couple things going against you.
Okay, right. Well, I'm very impressed. In fact, I'm sort of nervous today because when we introduce our guest, she is from New York, and I'm afraid that I'm going to end up...
You're
going to
slip back into
slip
your
back
old
into my New York accent.
New York accent.
But we'll have to see.
Because you don't have one right now.
Exactly. Isn't it amazing how
it
I'm able
amazing.
To...
I know.
So the first article we have today is called The Long and Short of an ETF Scorcher. And this... You're not going to believe, but there is a filing at the Securities Exchange Commission considering the approval of a pair of exchange-traded funds that would seek to quadruple the daily returns on U.S. stocks. That is right. It's called the FOSS Shares Daily 4x the U.S. Market Futures.
So is it going to be 4x up and 4x down?
Exactly. So on a day when the S&P 500 futures were up 1%, the fund would gain 4%, and the reverse is true. And the scary part is if the S&P 500, for example, were to fall anywhere between 18 and 22%, your loss would be 60%. And, you know, one of the reasons that ETFs, electronically traded funds, have been so well embraced by the public is that it was a way to be a passive investor. But once you start with these highly leveraged turbocharged funds, you're not only making an explicit decision on where you think the market's going, but you're almost on the borderline of being insane.
Well, you know, I can't even... imagine that that's going to be approved because that is in not the investor's best interest. And I hope it doesn't because, in fact, what that basically does is it turns investing into gambling. If you want to do something like that, you might as well just go to Vegas.
Well, you know, based on the current decisions coming out of Washington, I'm not so sanguine on the idea that it won't be approved. There seems to be a decision generally that less regulations the better. And if people want to make a bet on the market 4x the impact they may be allowed to. And interesting, the way the wording of this is reconsidering approval, which means it was probably rejected the first time. The second article is called Put a Fork in Stock Pickers. And we've been talking over the last few months about stock pickers versus electronic funds.
Well, what kicked it off is when, you know, BlackRock fired all of their stock analysts.
Right. In fact, there was a very interesting article I did not bring in today about how there's a very high percentage of funds that are now basically run by quantitative analysis rather than people. And, you know, that in itself is scary.
Well, basically, it's algorithm investing.
Right. But what this article does is it gives us some benchmarks that during the financial crisis from 2007 through 2009, the S&P 500 lost 50%. The average U.S. stock mutual fund fell exactly the same, basically 49.7%. In the bear market of 2002, internet stocks imploded. The S&P lost 43.4%, and the average fund lost 43.2%. During the Great Depression, the S&P lost 37.3%, stock funds lost 38.9%. So the empirical evidence is there that over the very long time, stock pickers, as represented by mutual funds, have not done any better than the stock market. So you're paying a fee to do exactly what the stock market...
Yeah, but those returns, Neil, are also net of fees. Usually when they quote returns, they're quoting net of fees, so...
Well, but... You are going to pay those fees. So you're paying a fee to do just as badly as the stock
market.
So this one, I think, is important for someone like you, Diane. It's called How the Wealthy Talk to Their Children About Money. And it's a very long article. It was in this Saturday's New York Times. And it talks about, and you know, this is the dilemma I think most people would like to have, is how do you talk to your children about wealth.
It's a very important piece because, especially in this community, it's important for parents to instill those values about money to their children. And oftentimes when we live in an affluent area where a lot of kids have a lot of opportunity to get more and or understand less and less about the value of money, it's important to actually artificially put that baseline in for your kids and really talk to them in a way that makes them understand.
And that's a good point. And one of the things that they talk about at the end, which is like one additional thing that you're talking about with families with wealth, is that what about people who never had wealth, where the parents made a significant amount of money later in life? There's no modeling. How do you teach young children how to deal with wealth when there was no wealth to begin with? And so there's this learning experience that the parents have to have alongside of the children. You know, where they use examples where the Rockefellers and other families had three or four generations of learning how to be good citizens and learning how to share wealth charitably and in other ways. But many people are self-made, and it's just the first generation. And so they're struggling as well as the children with dealing with having all of this responsibility.
And what you see oftentimes is you have the first generation that makes the wealth for the family, and the second generation not truly understanding the value of a dollar because that first generation that made it grew up poor, and now they want to say yes to all of the demands that their kids have or their wants and desires because it's a way of knowing that you did better than your parents and having that, giving your kids all the opportunities that you didn't have growing up. And so it's important for people who do have that wealth to sit down and think about what's the right avenue to take with your children and when to say yes and when to say no, because now the no's aren't coming because you can't afford it. The no's are coming because you want to teach them a lesson, and it's a lot harder that way.
I saw a documentary about 20 years ago with Warren Buffett talking about how he was going to give each one of his kids $1 million, and that was it. He wanted his kids to really deal with life on their own. I think he backed off on that. But the idea was not to let the child become complacent and not to follow whatever instincts they have to do as well as they could, and didn't want them to be turned off by the fact that it didn't really matter.
Well, it's interesting because oftentimes now when you sit down with clients in their estate plan, they have that hard line stance of, I'm not giving my kids anything when I die. You know, I'm going to give it to them when we're alive. And then as people age, they start to mellow and they realize that, you know, they want to see their families steward this money. And that's really what it's about, is teaching children how to be good stewards of this inheritance that they will receive.
So the final article is bond investors are uneasy on Fed tightening. And what's happening now is the yield curve is flattening. And we've talked about the yield curve a number of times. And the yield curve is a depiction of interest rates from 90 days way to 30 years, and how interest rates reflect, among other things, expectations about the future.
Yeah, it's basically measuring the inflation and growth of our economy.
The expectations about inflation.
Yes.
And what's happening now is we're seeing an increase in short-term rates and a decrease in long-term rates, which is resulting in a flattening of the curve, which some people and historically, that has led to expectations and reality of slower growth. And there are other reasons why this could be happening, but the reality is that this is a sign that everything may not be as rosy as the stock market seems to indicate. So bond investors are feeling uneasy. The stock market, not yet, but typically bond investors have been more sophisticated and sometimes more prescient than stock investors.
Well, the stock market is truly it's a leading indicator, but the bond market may lead first.
All right. So anyway, watch that yield curve. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our guest.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
Hello, I'm Kelly Marsh, the branch manager of Broadview Mortgage in Santa Barbara, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara area native who has spent the past 19 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit broadviewsb.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Broadview Mortgage can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, license number 813G136, NMLS number 170528, an equal housing lender.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Broadview Mortgage since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 564-1290.
Or you could also email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And if you're thinking about refinancing, you really should do so now, given rates are moving up. So you should give Kelly a call. Today, we are in studio. We're pleased to have Jessica Solomon, who's the Director of Professional Services at Live Home, to join us. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you.
And so tell us a little bit about Live Home and how you got involved.
Well, I started with Live Home about 2004 as a care consultant. The big picture is that they're a home care company. They provide senior care services. We do have multiple offices, but mostly in California, from San Diego to Walnut Creek, and we have a few offices in like Chicago, Houston, some other areas. Non-medical, custodial type of care, care management, and caregiving services.
So now when you say non-medical, does that mean do they help with prescription drug and, mm-hmm. and providing those to the patients, or do they?
Right. When people are calling and trying to understand the difference between medical and non-medicals, we provide custodial services. A medical company that's Medicare coverage is really just for skill needs such as physical therapy, occupational therapy, nurse visits. It's prescription driven, or a doctor has to write a script for that. Our services are custodial, caregiving type of services, helping with the activities of daily living, cooking, cleaning, bathing, transportation. And in answer to your question about the medication, is we do have staff that can actually manage the medication, mm-hmm. and then we do have caregivers that can prompt people to take their medication.
Oh, that's great, because I know with a lot of my clients who are caring for their elderly parents, that's a big deal to help have somebody there that can say, hey, you know, it's time to take your medicine, you know.
Exactly, Joe. Exactly, because when you see the first two red flags, typically, across the board, when seniors are having problems or they're having to transition into a different level of care or incorporating care in their own homes, the two biggest red flags is mismanaging medication and fall risks, or they're having falls. But which comes first? You know, is it because they're mismanaging their medication because they're falling, or is it balance issues? Is it neurological issues? And sometimes it is because they're not managing the medication correctly.
And how you deal with in-home care, is there a sort of a conflict if you believe someone should be in-home, not in-home any longer? Mm-hmm. You're basically giving up a client.
Well, we have part of Live Home is a differentiator is that we have care managers that are credentialed professionals. Some of them have nursing backgrounds, social work backgrounds. They attend professional geriatric care management conferences. They get monthly trainings. So they have a skill set that can help families identify, create a care plan, reassess care plans, and then identify that your parent is getting into this level of need. This is the budget that you put in place. This is when we start looking for different living options. Because we have to, that's all part of the plan too. Finances plays a huge part in what people, their care plans are going to be.
So let's talk a little bit about the different options. As I have an aging parent who needs help in their home, we have a service such as yours where you place them. Mm-hmm. Or what about, you know, I see a lot of people trying to use like a babysitter mm-hmm. for their aging parents as well. Talk to us a little bit about the differences between the two.
Well, I mean, there's so many different laws that have come into effect, you know, differences between having a personal friend, a family member, somebody that you're getting off the internet, opposed to somebody that works with an agency where the agency is covering the workman's comp, supervising them. There's that lack of oversight when you're doing it with people that don't necessarily have that kind of skill set. The other thing is identifying is, you can have somebody, and I've seen this over the years, you know, they use a housekeeper or local housekeeper, a friend, a neighbor, and they might have the best intentions, and they might be providing some really quality services, but they don't necessarily have the skill set to identify when there's or prevent a crisis happening. Little things like changing people's behavior, maybe they're retaining water, you know, that could be very risky if they have congestive heart failure and things like that. So if you don't have somebody in the home that's skilled, or you don't have somebody that has intermittent connection with that person to see that kind of, like I said, prevent that type of crisis, or have a plan to prevent that kind of crisis.
So a lot of the time, cost is the driving force, but behind, instead of using an agency, as opposed to using, you know, the neighbor that's willing to come over somewhat like a babysitter. Talk to us a little bit about the costs associated with using your services and, you know, what the different levels of care there are.
Well, there's a range. And if you're looking for hourly care here in Santa Barbara, our rates are $27 to $28 an hour, which is very competitive, also considering that we have the care management component. We were $25 for almost 10 years. We have, there's so many different laws. There's so much more overhead than there ever was before, and I can go into that. But as far as the range of, we have clients that use our services for a few hours. Maybe they have a family member coming to town and need somebody to help them because there's a wedding, and that maybe they have a relative that's wheelchair bound. So that's a few hours once and never again. To, we have clients that need our services that are bedbound and need us for 24 hours a day, and sometimes for years. So that's a big range.
That is a big range. Yeah. And so how do you screen your care managers?
Well, our care managers who are overseeing the care and working with the families and creating those plans and reassessing and overseeing and supervising the caregivers, like I said, they generally maybe have a social work background or a nursing background. The caregivers themselves could be a certified nursing assistant. They could be a home health aide. They could have gone through certain classes and get certain certifications, or they have to have at least 2 years of experience in home care.
And so you've talked a little bit about the changing laws mm-hmm. surrounding this, and I've got to imagine the immigration laws mm-hmm. are some of those laws that have changed and changed mm-hmm. your I guess pool of applicants
right.
that you can pull from. So tell us a little bit about it, because I know it's very difficult to find people that you trust in to take care of your loved ones.
I mean, it's a constant. You're constantly turning over the caregiver pool, and you're constantly recruiting. And people leave or come for different reasons, but what's really impacted the industry tremendously over the last 2 years is the fact that there was a new bill that was passed, AB 241. There are certain things regarding sleep exemption, overtime, time and a half, the actual wages that we pay caregivers has really impacted. You can't have somebody that works over 40 hours a week. Or having that if they're paid or if they work over 9 hours and it's a time and a half, but then there's limitations to how much they could possibly work in that particular week. Or we had live-in caregivers. That was a big thing. So to give it, just really drive it home at the cost, it could cost anywhere between $250 to $300 a day for 24-hour care. Now it's going to cost you because of the way we have to staff it and what the availability is, anywhere between $650 to $750 a day. That's significant.
A significant cost increase.
Mm-hmm. That's for 24-hour care. That's for 24-hour care.
And how much of that is covered by insurance?
Well, the only type of insurance that covers that kind of care would be long-term care insurance. There are some grant programs at some nonprofit organizations. There's the Veteran Benefits and the Aid and Attendance Program if they're military connected. But there's no insurance that pays for that except for the long-term care insurance.
And the long-term care industry has definitely been changing as well in terms of what they'll cover and what types of policies are out there.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that, I mean, God bless everyone that did actually pay into a policy and they can use it. There's a lot of bum policies that were written out there. There's someone that just called today and they have, I think, like a 90-day waiting period. That means that they have to wait 90 days before they can actually, or sometimes they're 30 days before they can actually use their long-term care policy. Well, some of these people don't really even have the money for that or for all the care that they do need until that 30-day period, but then they can't get the claim started unless they're using some type of service. So that's tough. The long-term care insurance never anticipated as many people using the policies, and that's affected. So a lot of the carriers have gone out of the marketplace. There's the fact that a lot of people don't use it. They forget they have it. They stop paying for it, so they can't use it. There's also certain policies allow people to use certain things on their policy, anything that helps you stay in your home. If you wanted to remodel your bathroom, if you wanted to change your windows, there are some policies that will cover that. But really understanding your policy and how to access those parts of your policy is a challenge.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe. One of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Coda Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food, prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit arnaldi's.com or call 805-962-5394.
Come play at Ealing's Park, whether it's by yourself, as a team, with your dog, on your bike, or soaring through the sky. Come play anytime, any day. For over 25 years, the Ealing's Park Foundation has been dedicated to maintaining this beautiful open space and creating a place for the entire community to come play. Ealing's Park is a remarkable environmental example of what is possible when people care about the best parts of their community and take ownership of wonderful facilities like our park. Ealing's Park receives no financial support from any aspect of government and is completely self-supporting. So come visit the park today and support Santa Barbara's largest nonprofit park. Join the many Santa Barbarans saying, Ealing's is my park, and make it your park too. For information, call 569-5611. That's 569-5611 or visit online at www.elingspark.org. That's ELINGSPARK.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence. And we have a caller.
We have a caller. Great. And, well, before we take our caller, I just want to remind everyone, we have Jessica Solomon, who's the Director of Professional Services at Live Home, and also making Neil feel right at home with her New York accent. So I'm surrounded today.
I didn't notice. Does she have a New York accent?
No, neither of you do.
Oh, good. In fact, you sound pretty funny.
I'm excited. Somebody's excited about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So we have a caller. Hi, Randy. Welcome to Money Talk.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me. I've got a question for Jessica.
Great.
So I've actually got a bit of a unique situation. My grandfather had a caregiver for quite a few years now. This is a woman who worked for my grandmother previously before she passed away, and so she's not really affiliated with an agency. But lately we've noticed some items have gone missing around the house, and now it's become apparent that he's left her house in the will. And so, I know, again, it's sort of a unique situation, but I'm just wondering what, Jessica, your advice would be for me and my family going forward.
So you're aware that she's had this is your father or grandfather?
My grandfather, yes.
And you're aware that she's had him change documentation? Okay. Have you been in touch with his attorney, or is this something that he's saying that he's made this conscious decision to change his will? What conversations have you had with your grandfather about this?
Not very many. He's gotten a lot older, like many of us in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to question, I guess, the capabilities of his mind at this point. And so I suppose it's a delicate situation, but we haven't really been in contact with his attorneys or anything yet.
Well, I mean, this is a housekeeper that is it a live-in housekeeper? Is it somebody that is visiting him intermittently? What is the day-to-day arrangement?
She's around quite often, comes in every day.
For
day-to-day things.
Mm-hmm. And is she the only person that has really contact with your grandfather, or are there other relatives and family members that have been visiting with him?
At this point, she has more contact with him than anyone else on a daily basis, by quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a series of questions to ask, but if you are suspecting financial abuse, which is one of the forms of elderly abuse, it definitely should be taken seriously. I don't know if your grandfather has visited the physician recently. What has been his last doctor's visit? Has he been to the neurologist? You can't easily change documentation these days without getting a little bit more oversight or second opinion. So I would definitely have to ask more questions and investigate a little bit more with you. But if you feel like there's elderly abuse, financial abuse is a very serious crime. And if you think that his well-being, or if he's harmed himself or others, that's when you start contacting things like Adult Protective Services and get them engaged and help support the family to just kind of start the process if you feel like there's some type of abuse going on.
Okay, great. Yeah, I will definitely look into that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Randy, for calling. So now in that case, Jessica, would you usually recommend if things are missing in the home is that they file a police report?
Well, definitely if they file a police report. But, depending, you don't want to rock the boat if you feel like there's nothing wrong, because that causes issues. And let's say that there's something a little bit. And this is not my arena, but right. We usually get involved after Adult Protective Services is involved. If there's family members that are involved, then it starts becoming a little bit more complicated.
Absolutely.
I would always call Adult Protective Services if you feel like it's an issue, but then you might be irritating the situation that doesn't need to be irritated. Maybe there's some simple explanation, but the Adult Protective Service involved, the police report would be involved, and then you kind of starts this really big snowball. So if you could have a conversation first and say that these are what our concerns are, I think that's a good place to start. our company usually gets involved in these types of things after the fact. You know, the family's in court, somebody's contesting a will or contesting the care of somebody. We're coming as an expert witness to assess the situation, to identify a good care plan. You know, in some cases, you know, it might be assigned to a private fiduciary, a conservator, sometimes public guardian, depending on what the dynamics of the family and finances are. So it's kind of a loaded question to sit here and, can't do something in like 2 minutes, but the long short of it is if you do suspect elderly abuse, that you do contact Adult Protective Services, you can make an anonymous report, and they do have to follow up with it.
And so I would think that one of the benefits of using a service like yours, Live Home, is that you have many people in the chain. So you have the care mm-hmm. manager who's overseeing the plan, and then you have the caregiver, mm-hmm. and then you're overseeing those
right.
people so that you're less likely to encounter an issue such as this.
Well, as far as when agencies are concerned, is we're taking the liability. If anything is lost, stolen, or broken, we have the insurances to cover that. That's why you want a company that has a care management or care manager in place to do consistent oversight and supervision of these caregivers. Make sure the care plan is being followed. Make sure that they know as long as they're in the home, our care managers come in and visit just about any time to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that they should know that there should be that they are not. They have to follow the guidelines. They have to follow care plan. They're never allowed to take any gifts directly.
I was going to say, what is the policy?
Yeah, never allowed to take any gifts, never allowed to handle any money or take money from the client. We do have some clients that do have we carry their petty cash for them, and we have records for it, receipts, and everything's documented. If we give any exchange to the caregivers, it comes in through us, but no direct exchange between a client and a caregiver.
And do you have a policy in place where if there's an estate planning document after the client passes away mm-hmm. that they leave something to the caregiver, mm-hmm. are they able to keep it or do they have to give it back to the estate or is it a gray area?
I don't think it's a gray area. I mean, because it's really crossing a boundary. And I think that having a care manager, we've had throughout the years, I mean, you think about hundreds of thousands of clients over
right.
the years.
Of course, I'm sure you've seen it all.
We've seen a lot of things, and we've had to follow up on reports and things of that nature. I know of one caregiver, I think it was before 2004, and they were left a home that was valued over $1 million. And they did, you know, she did not necessarily accept it. She spoke with the family. The family allowed it. So nobody's trying to contest this.
Right. So it only really gets contentious mm-hmm. if the family is at mm-hmm. odds with the caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or that they didn't. Sometimes I speak with a lot of elder law attorneys, and there are people that are coming. You know, usually they have it could be a private caregiver, and they are making those arrangements. I mean, that is definitely a topic to talk to elder law attorneys because they are estate planning attorneys. They say, you know, the kids are estranged, they have nothing to do with the family, and they might feel very close to people that are taking care of them every day. So it does happen. It hasn't really happened with us, just that one case I know of.
And so now before the break, we were talking about the costs. And so you said that really 24-hour care now, what did you say?
Could be anywhere from in Santa Barbara. $650 to $750 a day is $650, $750 a day for 24-hour care.
Now, what do people do who can't afford something like that?
Well, it isn't for everybody, and a good example of that is where maybe somebody they could afford 24-hour care, but it doesn't make sense is the level of need and what are they suffering from? It's dementia. Sometimes group settings, home settings might be better because you have one-on-one care. In a group setting, you're getting more activity and more stimulation and direct. It depends on what the family's wishes are. That's my belief. That's how I believe. But. If people don't have that, they go to maybe a boarding care or assisted living community. We are not in competition with assisted living communities. Two things is our clients, they want to stay at their own home. So assisted living communities are really for more actively aging seniors or people that want to age in place. And if they are beyond the level of need, then they can't really qualify for assisted living. But memory care, a lot of communities here have memory care sections or components. They would be in competition with the boarding cares or competition with us because they're reaching that budget. They need to do something else.
I think you brought up a good point when you said that a lot of people, you know, they want to age in place and then sometimes their ailments become too great that they can no longer be eligible to go into these assisted living communities.
Right.
And so I often give people, I often say to people, you know, you want to get there before you have to, if that's the avenue that you're going.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I've been doing home care since 2004, and I'm a huge advocate for assisted living. It's a changing generation now. I've handled thousands of phone calls over the years. And I could tell you this, one thing that never changes, 75-80% of the phone calls are crisis-driven calls. I'm dealing with adult children. It's a very need-based, crisis-driven business. What is a little bit different, especially over this last year, is the seniors themselves are calling, which was
never... Oh, that's interesting.
And emailing.
Oh.
And inquiring, which is very different. But for the most part, it's a choice. It's a choice to go into assisted living. It's a choice to stay in your own home.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Hi, I'm Layla Ali. I might be undefeated in professional boxing, but there's one problem even I can't fight alone. Childhood hunger. Over 17 million kids in America may not know where their next meal is coming from. That's 1 in 5 children. Yet billions of pounds of surplus food produced right here in America just get thrown out every year. That's more than enough to feed every last hungry child. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids before it goes to waste. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank by going to feedingamerica.org. Together we can knock out hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara.
You know, I really feel like we should change our show to be on Tuesdays, because then it would be after my bocce ball night, and I could tell you the results. But now we're just all laying with bated breath to find out whether Team Arlington wins tonight.
No, because this way we can promote the fact that you're going to be there.
I know, but I feel like I need some tangible results. I guess last week we won. I don't know. I wasn't able to show up after all.
So before you said that insurance is not part of the option for people who are going to live at home. So does Medicaid and the possibility that the new budget, which the rumor has it, the Trump budget is going to cut Medicaid dramatically, have any effect on in specifically your business, but in general, older people?
Well, Medicaid, here it's Medi-Cal.
Yeah.
And again, Medi-Cal is more for a skill need. That's for people. So confusing Medi-Cal with Medicare, which is all insurance-based for medical needs. So it doesn't affect us.
Well, Medicaid is funding a lot of what California Care is spending.
Maybe a little bit in LA, and they're doing a little bit of structure where you can get some coverage, some insurance coverage, if you're if you're in a community that has an assisted living component and a skilled nursing component. In some counties, I don't think ever see it here, but in LA and some counties, up north in some counties, that they are paying a portion of it.
Isn't it ironic, though, that they force people sometimes to have to go to the next level because that has insurance components, which is more costly to society than letting people live at home because there's no support for living at home?
Well, I mean, it's dangerous. Yeah. It could be very, very dangerous. And then the readmissions in the hospitals, I mean, that costs a lot of money. And what's interesting, and when I was, because I've traveled a lot for our company, and we had an office back in Virginia or the D.C. area, and the assisted living communities, is what's happening is it's costing more to care for people. You need to have people that are in these communities more independent. So they are supplementing with companies like us. We do it all the time where people need more care than they are paying for or that the assisted living will provide for them. So what I saw when I was back there is that there was a pipeline into certain skilled nursing facilities where people said, we just can't afford the $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month, but we can pay privately for a bed in a skilled nursing facility. And that seemed to be a better option for the family just because that was the budget they needed to work with.
Yeah, so a lot of it's budget driven. And so when you said that 75 to 85% of your inbound calls are crisis driven from, say, family members, is it because family members are coming to town visiting with mom or dad and realizing how bad it has actually gotten and that they need help? Or is it more of a fall injury that now it's, or is it a combination of both?
All of the above. It will get a lot of phone calls, and assisted living communities will be visited a lot after Mother's Day and after the holidays, Christmas, things like that, because that's, you haven't seen your parent for a really long time. They sound okay on the phone, but then you go and see them and you see their hygiene's off, or there's mail in the fridge, or what are they eating? And are there, you can see the confusion because you're talking to them and you're speaking to them for longer periods of time. We are the kind of company is, we provide, a lot of companies provide home care services, but we're the kind of company that if there is, say, somebody in the hospital here, a family member from New York will call and say, I'm in New York, and my mother is in Cottage Hospital, and she's getting discharged. They gave me your number because we need to facilitate somebody to help transition her to home. You know, and not every company has a care manager that can help transition them back to home. And somebody from across the country or even another state or a few hours away can't come here. They have their own responsibilities. They have their family. They have their job. So they need to have someone that can coordinate that, a professional company that can coordinate those types of things.
So when you say transition back to home, do you mean the actual transportation? Do you mean, you know, because Cottage, you need somebody after some major event. You need somebody with you. They just don't release you on your own reconnaissance. What? Walk us through a typical transition to home.
Most people that need continual care, they probably will be transferred to a skilled nursing facility. So there's not a whole lot that are going back from like a hospital setting, more that are going home from a skilled nursing.
Or like the skilled, rehabs.
Yes, correct. And yes, we can provide the transportation. We certainly can provide, but also kind of set up that care plan that also what they're recommending. They'll say, you know, 24-hour care. You know, we advise 24-hour care for at least the first 3 days or for at least the first week, and then you can kind of scale back. But the hospital, its patient's safety is number one. That's the most important. But then there's a lot of liability for hospitals if not creating a safe discharge plan. There's medical reimbursements that they can lose. If they are readmitted for the same problem within a certain amount of time, they can lose a reimbursement. So it's really forcing these communities or these networks to be more responsible with safe patient discharge and also a care plan so that we are not keep having the same problems and we're not draining our medical system and the finances that go along with it.
So, you know, as I was reading about Live Home, I think one of the remarkable things about your company that differs perhaps from others is just the security clearances. Can you explain to us or explain to our audience what that actually means? And
so after 2016, it became very, very stringent on the level of security background checks, if you will. And we always did criminal background checks on our employees, and any agency would. But what happened after 2016 is they had to pass this law that if you had anything or a mark on your DOJ record, Department of Justice, if something
came
up.
So what would a mark be?
It could be something that was related to drug-related, theft-related, domestic violence. There were certain criteria. And if that came up, you know, you might not necessarily pass the criminal background check, and you will not be able to be employed with agencies in California. So what happened was is we lost a tremendous amount of our caregivers. And these are things that people had done from 20 years ago and had been working in the field for 20 years with no problems and wonderful caregivers. And it's really impacted our industry. And what have these caregivers done? They've gone underground. People are hiring them directly. So they put these laws in place to protect seniors, but really what it's done is it's caused this huge underground network of caregivers.
So the underground network of caregivers, mm-hmm. what kind of liabilities do the clients who are hiring mm-hmm. them undergo? Because I'm sure there's probably they pay them a little bit less, but what are the trade-offs?
Right, they do pay them a little bit less, so they feel like they're getting
a better deal,
if you will. And they feel like, you know, this is a qualified caregiver, but they, you know, if there's laws to abide by, there is no per se independent contractors. They have to have a W-2. You become the employer. So when you start crunching the numbers with workman's comp or payroll taxes and things like this, they don't come out to be significantly different. And one thing that I was talking about earlier was I had asked Betty White, different, not necessarily the same guidelines, but she was sued by her housekeeper last year because of break time and things like that. So there's some similarities. And I had called up several domestic employment attorneys and said, what have you been seeing in our neighborhood? And they said, this is all over the place. I mean, we have having caregivers that are literally getting paid almost six figures a year because the family's following the guidelines, but then they're suing because they didn't have their break time or they got up in the evening, and they're suing for over six figures, these very affluent families.
So I think what's important here is that if you are going to go the private route and you think you're crossing all your T's and dotting all your I's, you really need to be mm-hmm. thinking like you're a company, because you're held to those same standards of any small business out there if you're hiring domestic workers and without an agency's protection.
And I understand and I hear the families. I hear how stressed they are. I hear the frustration. I hear that they're trying to come up with a plan that works. And what I advise them to do is still, if you have to do things independently, work in conjunction with an agency or work with an agency that has a care manager that you can engage in for at least oversight. We can't supervise employees that are not ours, but we can monitor, or we can be the gap or the safety net when they're not available or when their caregivers don't show up. So I would really encourage everybody to still engage with a professional agency at some point.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe. One of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Coda Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit Arnaldi's.com or call 805-962-5394.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
Hello, I'm Kelly Marsh, the branch manager of Broadview Mortgage in Santa Barbara, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara area native who has spent the past 19 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit BroadviewSB.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Broadview Mortgage can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, license number 813G136, NMLS number 1705228, an equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
We have in studio with us Jessica Solomon, who's the Director of Professional Services at Live Home, sharing with us some tips on if you do have aging parents or if you are an aging person and what you should do in terms of getting help if you need it and when you need it. And so, Jessica, tell us a little bit about, you know, a typical case and how your company kind of evolves with the clients and their needs.
Right. Well, in a case where every component of our company is used and we really shine is that my mom's getting discharged to the hospital, or I live across the country and I need somebody to check on my mom, assess the situation, because they're really using all the components in there. And the care manager becomes the eyes and the ears of the family, and they could be participating on certain, making assessments like, mom really needs to go to the neurologist. We really need to determine what is her cognitive issue or what the problem is here. People panic when there's memory loss. But what is it? Is it, are they mismanaging their meds? Is it vitamin K deficiency? Are they not drinking enough water? You know, you look at the, you try to eliminate the simple things before you start going like there's a major problem. So having a professional person help the family kind of determine or navigate where they go from here.
Well, and I think probably the objectivity is really helpful, because when it's your parent, you know, you're much more. It's kind of like when you try to diagnose yourself with something wrong and mm-hmm. you go online, you know, it always gets to a bad spot fast without losing rational objectivity.
But the other part, what we really get involved in is the family dynamics, and the sisters or brothers that are fighting, or they're not dealing with this, or they're dealing with it too much, or my sister's too much of a control freak. A lot of the problems and issues, and that's really where the value of a care manager comes in, is because they are being objective and they are there for the whole family. So when you say, well, what's your typical client? I was like, well, is our client more the client themselves that we're providing the custodial services for, or is it the family and the brother and the sister? I mean, each one of them is a client for each one of our cases.
Right. And when you find that mom or dad is starting to have a long-term chronic illness like Alzheimer's, you had mentioned, is there a different care plan in place? How do you communicate that with the rest of the family?
Well, I would say definitely over 50% of our clients, if not more, has some form of dementia or memory loss. If you're over 82 years old, I think your chances of getting some type of dementia memory loss is over 50%. But that's not the end of the world. But when we start growing into more memory loss and we're trying to identify, is this a bigger issue and problem? Yes, that's something that they are gauging. And again, goes on to we need to increase the levels of hours, we need to increase the level of care, or we need to start talking about different options of living, which could be moving mom out of the home or with another family member when they get to that point.
Now, if somebody who's out there listening right now has some questions about their specific case, what can they call you? What's the best way for them to reach you and, you know, figure out their situation?
Yeah, they can reach me. My cell phone is on all the time. I mean, I take calls.
We made her turn it off for the show.
Yeah, except for this one. But my office knows. 805-708-4142. That's my work cell. And then our office number is 805-687-8766.
Thank you, Jessica Solomon, so much. This was very interesting. And it's amazing how cheerful you can be in a subject and in a business that could be, for some people, depressing. So I'm glad people like you are willing to do that and engage as you have. You've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll be back here next week.
It's 3:00.